Well, it's a great night to be a part of the kingdom of God. And this is our abbreviated Wednesday night, so we're kind of compacting our announcements and our offering and all of that. So it's kind of happening all at the same time. There's a couple of things I want to talk to you about before we get into the word tonight, because we're going to break right at probably 8 o'clock to go over for a time of fellowship. This will happen the first Wednesday of each month. It's kind of in keeping with our a small group dynamic that is going on in McCalla tonight. So if you would, be sure to pray for that small group. They have visitors every Wednesday night, and those studies are going really, really well. They've asked that we announce children's choir is this Friday evening at 7 o'clock, ages 4 through 12. And you want to make sure that if you haven't yet, there are flyers in the foyer for Brother Evan Hood. It's a brand new evangelist for our church. We've never had him here before. So you want to get some flyers and invite some folks to come. I believe that if we fill the house with empty vessels, God can fill every empty vessel with the Holy Ghost. I really do believe that. Praise God. Sunday night, we took commitments for a building program. And you want to prayerfully consider that if you weren't here or you weren't able to take part in that. I have some building commitment forms here on the pulpit. And you want to think about what you can do, because we're going to have revival and we're going to fill the barn and we're going to need to have a bigger barn. Tomorrow it is set tentatively that Brother Reggie and I are going to meet with a couple of bankers over at the Roebuck Church of Christ to walk through that. I need you to be in prayer, not only for all that is transpiring in regard to that, but also in regard to, we need a buyer, the slickest, simplest, easiest thing. And I don't ever presume to tell God what to do. But as I'm looking at it through my simple approach here, the simplest approach would be for us to sell this and to walk into that. Praise God. We're going to stop here for a moment and rejoice as we go down in the water in Jesus' name. This young lady is a friend of Brother Jim and Sister Libby's, and she's come tonight expressly to be baptized in Jesus' name. So let's just worship God with her as she... Hallelujah. 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 Somebody go ahead and walk in some liberty in the Holy Ghost tonight, because I believe God's able to fill her with the Holy Ghost as she comes up out of the water tonight. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Mighty God, worthy God, holy God. We give you praise, oh God. If you have the Holy Ghost, let that heavenly language flow through your vessel tonight. Cause it to cloud up and rain in this house. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Glory, glory, glory. We magnify you, O God. We worship you, O God. We lift you up. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We magnify you, O God. We bless your name, O God. We lift you up, O God. Blessed be the name above every name. Blessed be the name above every name. Glory, 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 glory. Worthy, worthy God. Well, praise God. Go ahead and clap your hands and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful interruption. So always excited to see people baptized in Jesus' name. So So be in prayer for the prospective buyers of this property, and also that God would just open up a door, make a way for us in regard to those plans that we're looking at there for the Roebuck Church of Christ. That would be a wonderful place for our children to grow up in the house of God. A lot of room, and a lot of room for our young people. Just prayer is what we need. We need you to commit for a monthly offering for the building fund, but we need your prayers. So join together and let's bring our energies together and let's see what God is able to do. I want to really ask you to take Brother Kenny Ulmer on your heart. Visited with him today at St. Vincent's, and I've never seen him this low. Brother Kenny loves God. I felt a wonderful touch of the Holy Ghost as we were praying today, but he is a very, very sick man, and we just really need to lift him up and pray for him. Praise God. We've had somebody stand in for him tonight, as we have in every service for a long period of time, and we believe that God is able, but you really need to begin to lift him up. Now, the bottom line on all of this is that none of us stay here. We all cross over, and should he do that, he's going to be a lot happier in about 5 seconds after he's crossed over than he's been here in this broken down body for a while. But we never like to say goodbye to family, and Brother Kenny's become family here. So if you would pray for him and pray for his immediate family also. Well, let's read then in Hebrews chapter 11. We're continuing making our way through the book of Hebrews as we make our way through the New Testament. And this is probably the most intensive look at the properties and the qualities and the dynamics of faith that you're going to find anywhere in the scripture. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We just don't fit in here anymore. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, or from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. If you love his word as you're seated tonight, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled. We praise you, O God, and we magnify you, and we thank you, O God. Thank you for your word, O God, forever settled in the heavens. We praise you for it. We thank you for it. Praise God. So with verse 14, and without any review tonight, which would be our normal practice, is to drop back and begin to establish again some of the foundational ideas that we've already looked at here in this 11th chapter. But for the sake of time, we can't tonight. So we're dealing with faith and what it is and what the criteria is, what the symptoms are in your life. So you can look at these chapters and look at yourself and see if you, in fact, walk in faith. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They're looking for something else. They are no longer satisfied with where they are. They're always going to be waking up in the morning and looking off to the horizon and knowing that God has something better in another day that is yet to come. So faith in our hearts forges a new alliance and a new allegiance. And we see ourselves breaking free from the bonds of those things that connect us to our world. They declare that they were strangers strangers and pilgrims, and we begin to feel that way. Now, there are powerful things that attach you to your world, cultural things and things of ethnicity and things that remind you of home. But when the poet said you can never go home, you have to understand that that is the absolute truth. And when the writer said, the poet said, nothing gold can last, you have to understand that all the precious things will one day turn to dust and ash, and you can't hold on to anything in this world. For a fact, Jesus himself has let us know that every kingdom in this world is going to come down. In the picture of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in Daniel chapter 2, the empires of the world were given or illustrated as a giant statue with a golden head and a torso of silver and a belly of brass and legs of iron. But there was going to come a time when a stone cut out of the mountain without hands was going to strike that image at its feet. That image was the historical progression of empires all the way down to our day. That stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands is the chief cornerstone, the only foundation stone, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he's going to strike. When he comes, he'll strike that image at its feet. And every historical device of man, every empire is going to be turned to dust. And here's the phrasing that really catches my eye as we're talking about this. He said those nations, those empires would be like the dust, the chaff on the summer threshing floor that the wind blows away and there is not a place found for them. Not a place in God's kingdom for Babylon. Not a place in God's kingdom for Persia. Not a place in God's kingdom for Greece. Not a place in God's kingdom for Rome. Not a place in God's kingdom for America. Not a place in God's kingdom for the United Nations. Not a place in God's kingdom for Alabama. Not a place in God's kingdom for your high school alumni. Not a place in God's kingdom for your favorite sports team. Not a place in God's kingdom for the gods of this world. Not a place in God's kingdom for the honky-tonks or the music that comes out of it. Not a place in God's kingdom for your favorite old worldly song. Not a place in God's kingdom for your desires that are not like the desires of God. They're all turning into ash. And the only kingdom that's going to be left is the one that God has breathed into life in this earth by the power of his spirit and by the power of his name. And you better start. The whole of living for God is like coming out of Egypt. The whole of living for God is separation of light and darkness. The whole of living for God is God's people and everything else. Those that are in covenant and those that are out of covenant. The whole of living for God is about the business of drawing close to God and leaving everything else behind. He said, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross. The cross is a symbol of the death of the flesh, the death of the world, the death of the desire of this world. All that is important here gets nailed to the cross, but then God breathes into you the power of the resurrection, and on the third day he arose. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you arise into newness of life. And I don't belong in this world anymore. I've had an otherworldly experience. Yes, yes, yes. Yes and amen. And so you got to be careful because it's so easy to be attached. I feel patriotism. I see that flag unfurl. I hear the right song, man. It'll make me feel it all inside and I get tears in my eyes and I'm a patriot. And that's okay, you can't help that. That's just how we connect. But whatever it is you got on the inside about that, it's got to be tamped down underneath your allegiance for the kingdom of God. There is no structure. There is no kingdom, no emotion, no connection here that can be bigger than my connection with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is what it means. He's the king over all your other kings. He's the Lord over all your other lords. He's the love over all your other loves. My mama can't be as important as God. That's a big deal for me because I came up in a matriarchal home and my mama is everything to me. She can't be more important than God. I'm not going to fuss with God. I'm not going to argue with God. I'm not going to dispute God. I'm not going to turn away from God because my mama doesn't have apostolic truth. Can't do it. Well, he said that, Luke chapter 14. He said, listen, you want to be my disciple? Hate your mama and your daddy and your brother and your sister and even your own life. This is the heartland of what he was talking about. Praise God. So, I've got to have a new allegiance to the kingdom of God. I pledge allegiance to the flag, but not of the United States of America. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. And it really has to be that way. It really has to be that way. The good news is that as I live for God, I am a better citizen. I'm a better neighbor. I'm a better husband. I'm a better son. I do everything better. He said, if you get this right, love God and love people, you'll have obeyed all the commandments of the Word of God. So I have a new allegiance. I have a new patriotism. It comes before my family name. It becomes before my regional culture. It is weightier than my ethnicity. It's more important than my being of whatever nationality I am. It makes me better in every area of my life. They said they sought a country. We are seeking a country. We're looking somewhere else. And all of the typology of the tents and the fact that they lived in tabernacles, they weren't in fixed housing. They were travelers, sojourners, pilgrims, strangers. And yet are we in this earth. So we understand what the old timers mean when they say, don't drive your tent stakes too deep here. Don't get attached to this world too much. Sing that song, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they kept thinking about where they came from, how it was before, all of their dreams from before, all of the things that made them who they were, if they couldn't get that out, listen to me, faith doesn't look back. Faith looks on. Faith looks up. Faith looks out. Doubt looks down. Regret looks back. But you'll die in the wilderness if you do that. You've got to get your eyes up on the North Star of the promise of God. And you've got to embrace, confess, believe, rejoice in the things of God. Somebody say amen. Listen to me. Israel died in the wilderness because they had Egypt on their mind. I've got Egypt on my mind. Oh, the flesh pots of Egypt are calling. It's like a barroom song or something, you know? They had Egypt on their mind and they couldn't get it off of their mind. And at the Red Sea, you begin to get an indicator of it because they were about to cross over, but they didn't understand. And they looked at Moses and said, were there no graves in Egypt? Couldn't we just have lived and died there? And now you brought us out here and we're going to die here. Faith doesn't say we're going to die. Faith says we're going to live. Faith doesn't say we're going back. Faith says we're going on. Faith doesn't say now we're in a situation that there is no remedy for. Faith says God has all the answers for every circumstance, every situation, every day. You can tell if you've got faith. You just take your pulse. You just look at your, you listen to your words and you look at yourself. And if you're pining away over the past because it was so good, or you're wallowing in the past because it was so bad, either one of those can be terminal for you and for your faith walk in God. You've got to get yourself settled in. This is the day the Lord has made. I can't live in yesterday. I hope it was good for you, but it really doesn't matter right now. What matters right now? Now this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Somebody ought to get themselves an armful of the promise of God. Embrace it. Confess it. Believe it. Praise God. So they had Egypt on their mind. We gravitate to that dominates our thinking. Whatever's on your mind before you ever become an adulterer, you got adultery on your mind. Before you ever become a murderer, you got murder on your mind. Whatever it is that you do, it went through here first. Your body of knowledge is the base of that. Your thought life is the product of your knowledge, and your imagination or your vision comes out of that. You need to get your head and heart filled with new knowledge that comes from the Word of God, and you need to change the way that you think about life and people and God, and you need to get an imagination about what God has in store for you. Anybody here believe the promise of God is real? That God's got a place prepared for you? That as this world winds down, the church is heating up? Ah, the world is going down, but the church is going up. My God, it's a promise. So you got to quit thinking about those things that are contrary to the Word of God. And see, you can't. Your thought life is under subjection of your will. You think about what you want to think about. And anytime you want, you can shift gears and stop the stinking thinking and get on with thinking like God says. Praise God. The way that you do that in a durative sense is you fill your life with knowledge and good biblical knowledge and spiritual knowledge. And so what bubbles up is what you've been dealing with. But you sit there and keep that old thing on your mind. You're going to be hurting your faith life. We gravitate to that dominates our thinking. You just need to stomp your foot in a room all by yourself and say, no, I'm not thinking about that anymore. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to change the way that I've been letting things, you know, you can't stop random rogue thoughts from coming through your brain, but you can stop them from roosting there and building a structure there and repeating themselves constantly there. You can surely do that. So, but as it is with God, life and God always will provide you an exit. If you have it in your heart that at some point you're not going to live for God, God will always leave a back door open. He'll always give you an exit. God will put something in front of you that will give you a reason to leave living for God. Deuteronomy 13 says God will send you a false prophet to check you out to see if you really do love God with all of your heart. The story of Micaiah and Ahab tells me very clearly that God held a council in heaven and talked to the spirits on his right hand and on his left hand and said, who will go down and deceive Ahab that he can go and die at Ramoth Gilead? And the spirit stood out and the spirit said, I'll go. And the Lord says, how? And the spirit said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of these his prophets. And the Lord said, go forth and you will succeed. And the prophet told the king, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these your prophets. God did that. The Bible says God did that. Why would he do it? Because Ahab didn't love the things of God. Ahab wanted to go somewhere else. God gave him an exit. God will give you an exit plan. He'll give you a rationale. He'll give you a reason. But I'll tell you what faith looks like. Faith gets knocked down and faith gets right back up. Faith gets disillusioned and faith stands up and says, but I still believe God. Faith stands with Job and says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Faith says, my friends have left. I'll make new friends. Faith says, nobody loves me. I'll find somebody to love me. Faith says, I don't have natural advantage, but I'll get me some advantage. I've got leverage with God. I've got advantage. Faith has an answer for every exit sign that comes up along the way. And sometimes now that I'm a little older in this, I see those exits off on the side, and I just chuckle and say, God, you know we've already covered that. We're not going there. I'm not about to turn back. I've got too many years in this, and I've got too few years yet to put in. There's no way in the world I'm going to turn back on God now. Somebody say praise the Lord. The old song says, I'm going to finish this race that I have begun. Paul tells the young man, he said, this is a race. You need to set aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. You need to get your mind on the things of God. Run this race with patience. Let faith consume you in the midst of this. We don't have long to go. We don't have far to travel. You don't have much of life left in you. And I know that, wow, that's a terrible thing to, it wouldn't go over very well back in the back building where the kids in the college career are gathered tonight. But it's all, you got to get older to really get this, but this thing goes by in a hurry. The Bible says 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord, and a day is like 1,000 years. In the final analysis, none of this means anything. The only thing that matters is if you say yes to God in your brief little window of time that you have here. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. So if you're looking for an exit, you're gonna find one. But now, verse 16, they desire a better country. Anybody want something better than this? Well, that's not real hearty. That's not. I know you don't live in a Nipah hut in the Philippines, and I know that you don't live in a little village in Africa, and I know your life here in America is pretty good, but that's exactly what I'm talking about. Don't let this affluent society lull you into a sense of, this may be my home, maybe we'll dig in here. This is not going to last, and you're not going to last. You better get your eye on the kingdom that is coming in this world, and you better understand that these people, faith always desires a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That verse starts with, but now. It is reflective. It's but now as it looks back towards something else. I once was lost in sin. I once was bound up by everything in this world. I once had no knowledge of God, but now. I thought this world was where the joy was. I thought this world was where you had your chance. I thought that this was all that there was. I had pretty much reconciled that by the time I was 15 or 16. I just thought, I don't know if there's a God or not, but you, if you're going to get it, you better get it in this life and in this world. But I'll tell you, but now I've come to the knowledge of the Word of God. But now I've come to the understanding of life everlasting. But now I've had a down payment of the glory of, do you realize he calls the Holy Ghost the earnest of our inheritance? What we experience here on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning or in the middle of the day in your prayer closet or the little miracles that God drops along the way, do you understand those are just the down payment of what God is doing for us and what he's prepared for us? I'm telling you, I am excited at the prospect of what this is in full orbed glory. I'm excited about, I don't think, one of the reasons he's got to give you a new body is that this body wouldn't stand what God's going to uncork on you when you step across to the other side. We are in store for something. Now look, I want you to look at the natural world, the beauty, the interest, the intricacy, the wonder, the engineering wonder that it is. Blades of grass and leaves that turn into fire in the fall, and babbling brooks and fish that give you rainbows of colors against coral and in deep blue seas, and birds on the wings and little babies' hands, and the miracle of optics in your eyeball, and just on and on, the neurology of your body and the vascular system that feeds every part of tissue in your, I mean, it's an amazing thing that God has done. And do you know that this is the fallen, distorted, earthbound version of what God is going to, can you imagine what life is going to be like on the other side? If you're impressed with glaciers and snow-covered mountains and rivers that run and all of the beauty and the wonder and the awe-inspiring things here, can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? What that next dispensation's going to be like? But now, I'm not looking back at this. But now, I'm not impressed with all of this. But now, I've got a home prepared. Jesus told me about it. I'm excited about what is. You say you really believe that? I believe it with all of my heart. You value that? I value it more than anything that's here. Praise God. I can't finish this. We got to quit. We got people over there cooking for us in the other building. Let's stand together. Clap your hands. Give God some praise. If you're glad for the promise of God and you want to walk in faith, give God, come on, loose your voice. Give God some praise tonight. Somebody praise him. A praise as big as the promise of God. Somebody magnify him. Give him some praise that's as big as God's goodness to you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Love what God's doing here, and I love what he's got planned on the other side. Praise God. Anybody here believe the promise of God? Praise God. So good to be with you in the house on a Wednesday night. So exciting to see somebody go down in the water in Jesus' name. You want to make sure that you invite some folks to the house for revival this week. Weekend this Sunday with Brother Evan Hood. Praise God. Brother Cliff, we're really excited about your Bible study seminar in Dallas, and we want to hear more about that on Sunday. But he had like 65 or 70 commitments for home Bible studies there in a kind of a regional meeting. Excellent, excellent ministry this weekend there in Dallas. Brother Cliff, why don't you pray for our fellowship and our food here.